This is the Stock Day Podcast, sponsored by OTC.watch, where investors go to find big data on small companies. That's OTC.watch. Subscribe to us on iTunes and YouTube to stay up to date on penny stock news and interviews. Public information on OTC, pink sheets, and microcap stocks from around the world. Here's your host, Everett Jolly.
On today's show, I'm bringing back a returning guest. He was on my show back in June of 2021. The name of the company is Revolvo Group Canada, Inc. They trade on the TSX Venture under the ticker symbol REVO. And with us today is the CEO and director, going to bring us up to speed, Mr. Steve Marshall. Steve, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me on again, Everett. It's very kind. Thank you.
Before we get started with the Q&A today, if you would, give us a little bit about statement, who you guys are and what you do for my new listeners.
Revolvo Group is essentially a neobank. What that is the, obviously a modern version of current high street banks. What we have is financial licenses from 27 countries in Europe, which is a PSD2 license. We obtained the Canadian FinTrack financial approval in 2020, late 2020. And then in 2021, the third license that we were seeking is the USA MSB2 license for the state of Florida. And basically, we have a mobile app, which is RevoluPay, and that is associated with a Visa card, and also is essentially, let's call it, a bank account on your phone, and that is associated with a series of revenue verticals, which allows interaction through RevoluPay and through that, let's say, personal phone bank account and our verticals, but also interaction with any other company and entity around the world through the Visa card and also through digital payments, wire transfers, and all of those things. So basically, a bank account on your phone.
You know, I'm looking at your comps, and you guys absolutely crushed it last quarter. Registered users up to 30,000 now. Transactions up over 3,000. All that being said, I saw that the most recent financials, the profit margin was even up over 90%. That's an incredible accomplishment. So can I assume that this is a typical in the automated fintech industry, or is this an anomaly?
Yeah, I mean, you know, just the backstory on that is that obviously, as I mentioned, we've been in the building and development phase of our financial technology for 3 years. In 2020, 2021, we obtained the three financial licenses that we needed to be able to carry out this particular business. And then, you know, just like any other fintech company, we then proceed to monetization phase, which is the numbers that you just mentioned that we can cover more about that a little later on. But basically, as companies such as ours move to monetization phase, we have that period where the whole technology is being built is then replaced by users and revenue. But anyway, going back to your second question, yes, basically, Everett, this type of financial technology that we have launched is entirely automated with almost no human intervention whatsoever for a given transaction. So what this means is that essentially you have a 24/7 platform that's operating permanently with minimal human intervention, which, as we all know, human intervention is cost, and that then translates to these tremendous profit margins, as you saw in the most recent financials that you mentioned, over 90% profit margin on the revenues that we flowed through this financial system. And so, you know, since concluding this development phase, you can also see that we no longer have the expenses that were associated with this development period. So we saw in these most recent financials that those expenses and those expenditures for the company are extremely low now compared to what they were during those three-year building period, which was obviously, you know, 800, 900,000 per quarter. You know, we're down to 490, 500K per quarter now, which is basically where it's likely to settle. We don't expect that to increase in any meaningful manner. But as I mentioned, we're now adding on top of that all of this revenue, and obviously the fact that this burn rate is so small compared to this influx of users and influx of revenue, then, you know, what we are looking for, you know, our first quarter of this year begins on the 1st of June. We are looking and seeking that be a break-even quarter. That's what we're aiming for.
Well, let me ask you this. Who uses your platform?
Basically, this platform is utilized, I mean, because you can download it on Apple and Android, Apple phones and Android, it can be used anywhere in the world. So people who tend to use it are those that are seeking alternative banking services. They're looking for ease of use. They're the unbanked. The world has billions of people who are unbanked. And it's just a simple method to bank, which means that you can have your first bank account, you can have a Visa card, you can transfer money to family and friends, you can receive money. Even if you're a vendor of products or services. And there are so many people around the world that are either in one of two categories. The first category is they're with high street banks. They're paying for these illustrious buildings down on the high street in terms of their monthly banking fees. They don't use the service. They don't go into the high street bank. And all they need is just some basic services, which would be to have their salary paid into a bank account, a card associated with it so they can buy groceries, and possibly wire some money now and again to different locations. That is the essence, really, of our users of current banking consumers, right? But then the flip side of that are all of these billions of people who have never had a bank account. They cannot get a bank account. And there is just so many people out there, Everett, especially in South America, as we found. We have plenty of users that are now onboarding with us in South America. You just have so many people who've been excluded from the banking system who now need. I mean, this is one of the primary reasons why we've seen a prevalence of crypto, because crypto is something that's allowing these people to start being involved in the current world of finance, because banks just turn their backs upon them. So our technology is as easy as going to Google Play or going to the Apple Store, downloading a free app, install it on your phone, upload the ID, get approved, and there you have your bank account. Request a Visa card, and you are now operating a bank account on your phone. Wherever you are in the world makes no difference.
I want to change gears here for a second. We only got a couple minutes left in the show. One, what do you expect for the next financials due to this sixfold increase in users and exponential increase in transactions? I know you're not a fortune teller, but if you can, maybe lay out the roadmap for us.
Well, what I expect, obviously, we have a sixfold increase in users from the 1st of March, which is the monetization phase, which has begun. It's quite simple, really, for shareholders to see that if we made approximately 70,000 gross profit in the previous quarter, which ended on the 28th of February, with 5,000 users, with 30,000 users, which we attained solely in the month. I mean, that's something that we need to underline here, solely in the month of March, right? So we have a sixfold increase. Then we have to obviously then contrast that with our burn rate, which is 500K per quarter. You don't need to be a rocket scientist to work out that, you know, six times that particular amount, which again, this is exponential because the users are increasing all the time. Then, you know, as I said, first quarter of 2022, which begins on the 1st of June, we do expect and we hope to be in either break even or a reasonable profit, which is very rare for a fintech company. In fact, it's so rare that, you know, you could probably count them on one hand with three fingers missing, because most of them obviously are still huge deficits. And we've built this technology using the minimum amount of capital, and also but creating something that's unique, which means that, you know, there's no human intervention and it's all automated.
Let me ask you this. How does your company intend to meet these crypto regulations to assist these digital currency exchanges? If you would elaborate a little bit on that.
Okay, so, you know, back in November of last year, we advised our shareholders in the AGM that regulation was coming to cryptocurrency exchanges, and we've seen it. I mean, you have Biden waiting for the white paper now to impose restrictions and also regulation upon the DC exchanges. We have exactly the same scenario occurring in Canada. Europe's doing the same thing. What we have done is we had to delay the launch of our Huobi and DizDAC white labels because of this new interest by regulators to do this. But unlike most companies who are still not ahead of the game, what we did is as soon as the European Union introduced the guideline for the entities and payment institutions such as us of what we need to do to receive be granted approval, we applied in December of last year for this new licensing addition to our PSD2 license. We received replies back in March. We replied to the two final questions that they had out of 62. And now we're simply just a waiting game that we get approved for this. And what that means is that we could be possibly either the or one of the first payment institutions in Europe to be approved for crypto trading, bilateral crypto trading, buy, sell. And the ramifications of this are quite important, because what it means is that these huge exchanges that are seemingly traversing through or at least transferring billions of dollars per day in these crypto transactions, their ability to be able to do that once crypto becomes an asset class through the regulation, they're going to need financial licenses. And so we will be stepping in with the two entities that I mentioned with the white labels that we have been attempting to launch now for, you know, the best part of a year. And you know, the reason why, as I mentioned, is because obviously the absence of regulation, which has now arrived. But also with this new licensing, it means that the other entities that we're discussing with, who would literally from one day to the next be unable to operate, will be able to use our technology to be able to trade. And as we both know, Everett, I mean, so you go to any of these websites, like, you know, go to Huobi, go to Binance or any of these entities, DizDAC, the numbers are astronomical. This is billions of dollars a day, right? And now you imagine that these companies wake up the next day and they need financial licenses. They need a PSD2 license, they need MSB, they need Canada, wherever they want to trade, they need financial licenses, because now crypto has become an asset class for the regulators. Well, companies such as ours, we have the technology, we have RevoluX, which is a proven platform that functions, that we simply allow them to utilize. We sit in the middle of the transactions, we handle the cash flows, and ultimately, we take our spread from that. And this is huge amounts of money.
Unfortunately, Steve, we're running out of time. Real quick, going to have to button it up here. What can our listeners, your investors, expect to see in the next two or three quarters, real quick?
Well, first, obviously, as I mentioned, I think we've already covered that. We can expect at least in the first quarter, from the 1st of June, we can expect break-even, possibly profit status. The main catalyst that we're waiting for really is we're waiting for the primary card issuer affiliate status. We're also waiting, obviously, for the bilateral cryptocurrency transaction ability, which could come any day now. The third thing, obviously, the launch of Revolu Transfer, which is our internal system for large amounts of money that we transfer across borders. That is in direct synergy with Revolut Realty and also with Revolut Fin, which would both be launched, around about the same time. And again, the final point really for shareholders is the Dubai license, which would then allow both Revolut Fin and Revolut Realty to be launched. So that's it, Everett. That's basically where we're at.
Well, my guest today is Steve Marshall. He is the CEO and director of Revolvo Group Canada, Inc. You can find him on the TSX Venture under the ticker symbol REVO. Steve, thank you so much for coming on the show. Only thing I ask from you, buddy, is that I don't have to wait almost a year for you to come back on. Hopefully, you'll come back on in the next 2 or 3 months.
I'll be back on, but as you can hear from this interview, I've been really busy, but I have more time, and I'm going to start doing more media appearances, and my first port of call will be you, Everett. Thank you.
This program is entirely sponsored and produced by La Jolla Media, LLC, which is responsible for the content. The opinions and information provided on this program are for educational and research purposes. Stock Day encourages all listeners of this program to do their due diligence and research when determining investment strategies that will work for them, or to seek the assistance of an investment professional.